Welcome to Brand New Doctor. My name is Rolla Kerajo, doctor turned healthcare graphic designer and brand strategist. This is the show where we share big ideas and look for inspiration in all kinds of places to help you grow a fulfilling career in healthcare. Following a path to success is one thing, but carving your own is another. So this is for you if you want to go beyond book smart. So I'm joined today by Dr. Giles Morrison. Giles is a medical doctor and clinical user experience strategist. In the increasingly digital world we live in today, user experience or UX is a huge field and its applications in healthcare are becoming more and more important. So we are going to talk more about clinical UX, which is a term that Giles himself coined. We are talking to a pioneer in this field today. So Giles studied medicine at Barts in London and practiced as a doctor for 3 years before moving into IT and eventually into what he does now, helping UX professionals and healthcare companies make products and services that are valued by clinicians and patients. He is also a mentor and career coach, especially for doctors transitioning out of clinical practice or people interested in working in user experience. And he gives talks and workshops on career change, personal development, and personal branding. So Giles, I'm really glad that you could join me because you are the first doctor I've spoken to on the podcast who, like me, stands at the intersection between design and healthcare. I know we share the same vision of what design can do to improve healthcare. But for people who are just hearing about clinical UX, can you explain what it is and maybe also what it isn't? And perhaps, I suppose we should take a step back and explain what user experience itself is in and of itself.
First, thank you for having me here. It's a real pleasure and honor to share a mic with you. Yeah, user experience. There's many definitions that people have for this. Whether they're new to the profession, been in the field since its inception. User experience is ultimately about the experiences that people have with anything that's been designed. So someone is having an experience with what they're hearing right now based on the quality of the speakers of the device that they're listening from. They can't really control the quality unless they get a different device, and that device has to be designed in a particular way to function in a way that's going to really help them hear well. But there's still an element of, are they in a room that has any other distractions, any noise? These are things that can impact that experience that we can't control as people recording this. So when I look at user experience, it's like, well, what is it that people are interacting with that I can actually control? Like, I can't control the weather, but I control whether I carry an umbrella, especially in the UK. And even the umbrella is not going to be perfect. If there's a strong wind, I'm still probably going to get my bottom half wet from the wind pushing the rain to my legs, which the umbrella can't control. So that umbrella could be designed better, but I don't really think we're going to wear the whole body suits to protect ourselves from the rain. We haven't got that looking particularly attractive and being easy to use at the moment. But it still goes back to that same premise. User experience is a focus on what are we doing to improve the experiences people have with something that's been designed that we can actually control. When we look at that within healthcare, we're talking about anything that someone interacts with, whether it's a service, a physical product, a digital product that's going to impact healthcare in some way. That's quite broad because it can include a website that encourages people to have 5 fruit or vegetable portions a day. But then when it starts to go into the area of, say, track and trace as a website to see if someone has got COVID and do the contact tracing for that, we're starting to go into the realms of what I define as clinical UX, which is a focus on the experiences primarily of clinicians and patients with healthcare technology and services. You see, when you are creating a product or a service that involves clinicians or patients, this is going to become regulated because if something goes wrong, someone could be harmed, someone could die. It's going to be regulated because there's an opportunity for ethical dilemmas to present themselves. We can talk about that in a bit more later, but the main point is that there's more opportunities for things to go wrong, and going wrong having devastating consequences. Thus, having an understanding of medicine, of the diagnosis process, of how clinicians actually operate in dealing with patients, whether they're a doctor, nurse, physiotherapist, pharmacist, working in a lab, the patient themselves, the experiences they have, what encourages them or discourages them from even seeking medical help in the first place when they've got a medical problem. These are things that I have to keep in the back of my mind in the day-to-day basis when I'm working on a clinical UX project. So it's still UX work when you consider there's research that you do to understand the problem. There's a diagnosing process that clinicians would understand that is ultimately what we're doing. We're trying to get the root cause of the problem, give a label, then you give for some treatment. That's the design process, really. You're going to iteratively find the best solution that solves the problem that's been identified. And then you evaluate, make sure that you've done a good job. You follow that process. That is trying to remove some of the complexity of the reality of working in UX. But that's generally what you do when you're working in UX, is that you're supporting the understanding of the problem and the creation of the best possible solution to the right problem that needs to be solved, and making sure you've done another little check that you've done a good job. And doing that in clinical UX really does rely on understanding healthcare, medical science, behavioral science.
Wow. So can you tell us about your journey to where you are now? How did you end up in what we now call clinical UX?
I would say that clinical UX has definitely been a happy accident, but it was quite clear that this was the right trajectory for me. So when I was very young, 4 or 5 years old, I loved drawing. I used to have a high top, if you remember Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I would draw myself as a stick man with this block on his head. That's what I did when I was like 3, 4 years old. My ability to do a self-portrait dramatically improved as the years went by. But before that skill developed, it was much more like copying the illustrations from books and really being interested in being an illustrator and a writer, being creative in general. By the time I got into secondary school, I realized that artists tend to only be wealthy when they're dead. And so I thought I should probably consider an alternative career path. At that point, I was probably around 13, 14 years old, where my IT teacher said, Charles, there won't be any jobs by the time you graduate from computer science or some other degree. That was a lot of nonsense, of course. IT is a massively booming industry. And even though there's been issues with layoffs in the tech industry in 2023 and 2022, really and truly, like, there's always going to be jobs for IT professionals. But I was discouraged because I trusted my so-called elders, who I thought were wiser than me. So then I took time to reflect and I thought, well, maybe I should take a career in medicine because I like behavioral biology. I like helping people. I want to have a job that should pay well, maybe a job that I can travel with. So medicine just kind of made sense, even though I didn't really know any doctors on a personal level, no relatives that are doctors. But I pursued that career, got into medical school, graduated in 2011. Loved working with patients, but there was a lot of problems that I faced. I wasn't clinically depressed, but I felt like I was losing myself. The time I was being creative was diminishing over time because you're just so busy when you work as a doctor. The long day shifts, the night shifts, the weekend shifts, the 12-day stretches. It was becoming too much and I had to move all the way from East London to Grimsby. And it's in the name. It's kind of grim. It was a challenge for me going there, but it was necessary. It was necessary because I grew as an individual. It's a wonderful craft, medicine, the blend of art and science. And if it wasn't for my medical education and experiences, because you have experiences as a medical student, but it's nothing like being a doctor. And you have a medical education by going to medical school, but it's nothing like education like life, especially working as a doctor. So the combination of the medical degree and the 3 years of service has given me enough of a foundation of medicine to be like, it wasn't right for me to be a doctor, a conventional one at least, but I can still solve problems with the knowledge that I've acquired. I just didn't know that my first love for being creative and then moving into IT would then combine with my love for medicine, healing people and traveling to form a career in digital health, and then realize that that career in digital health was becoming a career in clinical UX.
So for a beginner, what are the basic principles that they can use to help them to start thinking like a designer and start solving problems, whether that's relating to behavior change or efficiency in their clinic? What would you tell them to read, or what would you tell them so that they can start on that journey?
So there's five pillars, I would call them, in clinical UX. There's dignity, there's people-centeredness, there's continuous improvement, evidence-based, and being ethical. So dignity is actually like respecting someone's right to good health and being able to be respected. People-centeredness now, very similar concept to patient-centered care, but keeping in mind that there's a variety of people that's going to be influenced by a product or service, any solution that's been designed and put out there, whether it's to serve directly a patient, but indirectly the clinicians that serve that patient, the loved ones that are caring for that patient, even the people who have to provide and maintain the product or service that's used by that patient. These are people that you also have to keep in mind. And people-centeredness is recognizing the different type of people and keeping them at the center of that decision-making and design process. Then there's continuous improvement. So it's not just the iterative design where you've got a problem and you're working out all the best solutions and then you've got the best solution and you're done. It's like at that point, you're like, okay, so how do we now do better? And again, doctors are very familiar with this concept, even with dignity as well. We're familiar with these concepts, what we do as clinicians, where you're going to safety net a patient. Once you've given the treatment, you safety net just to make sure that if there's any other problems, they come back. But you still don't necessarily fully discharge them. Even if you're discharging them from hospital care, you've discharged them back to their GP who should be dealing with them for the rest of their life. So there should always be an opportunity to continuously keep this person healthy. Sadly, doesn't work as simple as that. But definitely with UX design, you should be thinking, well, now that things are okay, how do we keep it okay? How do we prevent things getting worse or there being a problem that arises down the line? And it's evidence-based. Again, this is a core concept to medicine. Everything we do in medicine, there should be evidence that backs up what we're doing. Whether it's the copious amount of evidence from our forefathers working in medicine, whether it's what we've gathered from variety of investigations, or even just an examination, or even taking a history, it paints a picture and it says, well, this is what's going on. Here is the evidence, which then leads to subsequent treatment. We should be using research findings, qualitative, quantitative data, directly gained from dealing with participants, or what we've used from our own expertise to analyze a situation and come to conclusions about what's going on and what needs to change or what's actually working well. You shouldn't be encouraging people down a particular path that they otherwise didn't want to go down, that they aren't interested in. Common example, you get a pop-up that's trying to get you to subscribe to a newsletter. And it's very, very focused. It's like it could be a newsletter about becoming a millionaire. And so it's like, yes, I want to be a millionaire. And then he says, no, I don't want to be a millionaire. Never, you know, I don't care about money type attitude. It's like, well, there's a lot of people who care about money, but they don't want to sign up to your damn newsletter. That's why they want to click no. Shouldn't be manipulating them and trying to guilt trip them into signing up to your newsletter. And that is something that's ethical. But within healthcare, an example would be pushing for patients to use a mental health app when there's no evidence that it's going to help them with their mental health. And you're charging them for this and abusing them in a position of being very vulnerable. That's unethical. And at times, specifically certain parts of the world, this can be legal. But just because something is legal doesn't mean that it's ethical. That's why it needs to be distinct. So consider dignity, people-centeredness, looking for continuous improvement, having an evidence base, and being mindful of ethics in what you do, and you're ready, you're much more likely to deliver a user experience that patients and clinicians deserve, and one that's going to be making a huge difference in their lives.
Amazing. Thank you so much. There's so many questions that I could ask you that are kind of popping off in my mind. I could ask you more about design, careers, business, public speaking, thought leadership, all of these areas that you're involved in. So you'll have to come back on the show at some point. But thank you so, so much for your wisdom.
And thank you so much for having me and having this podcast. It's an incredible resource. I love the way that you're bringing people who have got such diverse experiences, thoughts, and new careers even, all coming from a medical background. Like, it's really wonderful and inspirational. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of Brand New Doctor. I hope it inspired you in your personal journey. Check out the notes for a summary of the show with all of the important links. And if you enjoyed this, do me a favor, subscribe and share this episode with someone else you think could benefit from this message. I'd love to hear from you. So why not leave a rating and review? It really helps other people to discover the podcast too. You can also find me on LinkedIn as RolaCareOjo and on Instagram as RolaCare.so. So that's all for now, but I'll be back soon with another episode of Brand New Doctor.